this. For the next 10 years, I would have to make minimum wage. Well, little did I realize that meanwhile, a bigger lawsuit, far bigger, was coming against us. This one was actually decided in court a year and a half later, but this was from the largest abortion clinic in Oregon, the Lovejoy Clinic, on Lovejoy Street. Well, that's hence the name, but the irony is terrible. So that's one of the clinics we had gone out to. And by the way, when I was at that clinic, one time I was in the back standing there, there's the dumpsters, and I open a dumpster and I see bloody masses, human tissue. And I'm going, it really just took my breath away. I knew this was happening, of course, but they were even violating the law about the disposal of human remains. Interestingly, they're called human remains.
Wow.
Yeah. But anyway, so, but here's this clinic, and these people get up, the employees of the clinic and the owner of the clinic. And of course, they're on the witness stand and they're under oath and they are lying. I mean, saying horrible things, like this one Catholic gentleman, elderly guy, and they're accusing him of screaming at women and calling them terrible names and just graphic things that would not even have been in his vocabulary, and telling them to F off and to do all these different things. It just stuff he would never do. And just seeing how red-faced and kind of ashamed he was, even though he hadn't done those things, as he has people in court saying these things about him. But anyway, that went a full month. And one of the things that struck me the most was to see the judge actually yell and scream in a courtroom. And I'm not kidding. If I had somebody else tell me that happened, I'd go, no,
they don't do that.
Yell and scream. They just don't do that. Frank Peretti, who wrote This Present Darkness, Piercing the Darkness, and all of that, is a friend at the time. And I contacted him and I said, you know, Frank, everybody's talking about your books because this is like a page out of one of your books, except the difference is, if you wrote this into one of your books, even though it's a novel, your editor would say, no, that's so unbelievable.
Right.
It's just obviously would never happen, but it did. He actually, while I was testifying and others, would put a newspaper in front of his face at times to send the message to the jury, don't pay attention to these people. I'm not. But these incredible things that are happening in court that I wouldn't believe if I hadn't been there and seen them myself. But at the end of that time, he gives what's called a directed verdict. He says to the jury, you must find this group of people, you must find them guilty. And you must then punish them with such a large financial penalty that they would never do something like this again. Now, that's judge telling the jury, this is what you have to do. Well, they come back with an $8.2 million judgment for the group of us. And back in the day, I always used to joke with people, $8.2 million, man, that's more than I make as a pastor in a year. You know, but at the time,
that's what they call real money in most places.
Yeah, that's what they call real money. But seriously, now go back in your mind to the economy. I mean, for those of us who were around back then, but the economy in 1990 and $8.2 million, I don't know what it would be today, but it would be the equivalent of a lot more in terms of what you could buy with it and what its true value was. But that was an unthinkable number, $8.2 million. So I've resigned from the church. I'm making minimum wage now for yet another, starts over with the clock, another 10 years, because that's going to be in effect. And then little did I know that 10 years later, the abortion clinic would get it renewed for yet another 10 years. So it would be a 20-year judgment. So it was not until 2012 that I was finally free of this judgment and could make more than minimum wage.